Hello, this is Anviti. Welcome to News with NDTV. It's Wednesday, July 23rd, and coming up in today's episode, RJD mounts scathing attacks on Nitish Kumar and NDA government, while JDU MP calls SIR a Tughlaqi Farman. Tanushree Dutta breaks down on her alleged harassment and no justice in Maharashtra claims. Vice President election process expected in September. And what India gains after Prime Minister Modi's UK visit. RJD's Tejaswi Yadav has launched a scathing attack on the ruling government on the special intensive revision of the voter bank in the poll-bound state. Quote, "The government is now choosing voters. Earlier voters used to choose the government," said the opposition leader. To add salt to the wound, ruling alliance's MP Giridhari Yadav, an MP from JDU, has claimed that this is a Tughlaqi Farman or an unreasonable diktat by the Election Commission. Speaking with ANI outside the parliament, he claimed, "Election Commission has no knowledge of Bihar's history or geography," and he asked that during the monsoon season, when farming is still ongoing, how will someone, a regular person, arrange the documents required for SIR? Quote, "It took me 10 days to arrange all the documents. How will a normal farmer do it?" And then he added that his son lives in America and questioned, "How will my son get a signature in just 1 month?" Further attacked the Election Commission by saying, "This SIR has been imposed on us forcefully. They should have given us 6 months' time at least. Ye Tughlaqi Farman hai." Coming back to RJD, the actual opposition, Mr. Yadav said the constitution grants everyone the right to vote. Quote, "We are not opposing SIR, but the process is not transparent. The election commission says they received complaints that people from outside have come as voters here. This drive was carried out in 2003, but it took 1 year to complete it then. Between 2003 and 2025, many elections have been held. Should we say then Nitish Kumar is a fake chief minister? All of us who were elected came here with the support of fake voters," he questioned, and asked why the voter revision drive was not started right after Lok Sabha elections last year. Just a day before, the poll panel has said around 52 lakh voter entries have been deleted from Bihar's voter lists. Last week, the EC also said a significant number of voters were from foreign countries. The opposition has alleged that the Election Commission's exercise, which they claim has been ordered by the BJP, the Bharatiya Janata Party, targets voters from marginalized and poorer communities that they see as the opposition's voter base. The opposition also criticized the EC's decision to exclude commonly accepted government-issued IDs, including the Aadhaar and its own identity card. In fact, the voter card is not valid as voter's verification. Earlier this month, RJD chief, the face of the opposition, questioned the claim that over 80% of the voters had been re-verified when an estimated 4 crore live outside the state. After releasing her emotional video on the alleged harassment she faces, actor Tanushree Dutta, who was one of the whistleblowers of the 2018 Me Too movement in Bollywood, when she accused acclaimed actor Nana Patekar of assaulting her, told NDTV she does not expect any justice in Maharashtra. Quote, "My experience with the Mumbai police during the 2018 Me Too movement left a very bitter taste in my mouth. They encouraged me to file an FIR. Back then, I spent 4 to 5 hours at the station, gave a detailed statement and kept following up and nothing came of it. In Maharashtra, these molesters and harassers are often hobnobbing with politicians. They're protected, so there's no real scope of justice," unquote. Tanushree Dutta, who is often credited with kickstarting the global sexual assault and harassment victims movement called Me Too in India, told NDTV and claimed in her post that the recent attacks she faced are a reaction to her original complaint. Though the global movement saw power brokers and holders of Hollywood, such as Harvey Weinstein and Bill Cosby, held accountable and ultimately jailed, it had little momentum and lesser impact in Bollywood. For background, the actor posted a video recently on Instagram in which she was seen crying and begging for help with the caption, "I'm sick and tired of this harassment. It's been going on since 2018 Me Too. Aaj fed up hokar maine police ko call kiya. Please someone help me do something before it's too late. In the video she claims, quote, loud noises like this and other very loud banging noises at odd hours for the last couple of years. I got tired of complaining to the building management and gave up. She said the disturbances worsened recently while she was unwell. Some random people came to my door and started ringing the bell despite instructions of do not disturb. Ms. Datta had first accused Nana Patekar of inappropriate behavior during a 2008 film shoot and formally complained in 2018. Her lawyer had also requested narco analysis and lie detector test for the accused, including Patekar and others involved in the project. She alleges that since then she has faced systematic harassment, including tampered food deliveries, packages being meddled with, and strangers entering her hotel rooms using spare keys. She claims it's a psychological warfare, claiming these incidents began after she fell seriously ill and was diagnosed with the chronic fatigue syndrome. Now she says similar tactics are being used at her home. Quote, foul-smelling substances have been left outside my door. When I called the police, they spoke to the watchman, but no one took responsibility. Unquote. The Election Commission has announced that it has started the process for holding the Election Commission for the post of Vice President less than 48 hours after former Vice President Jagdeep Dhankar suddenly resigned on Monday evening, ostensibly on the basis of health issues. But sources suggest there's more to the story. BJP, in fact, had been irked with his recent actions and was planning to pass a no-confidence motion against him. However, coming back to the vice presidential post, sources suggest this election could take place early September once Prime Minister Narendra Modi is done with his foreign tours. The name of the vice presidential candidate will be discussed within the party, and the party leadership will prepare an interim list of potential candidates while giving priority to senior leaders proficient in legislative work. The name of the vice presidential candidate may come up from states like South India, West Bengal, Northeastern states. What the opposition will do? Well, Samajwadi President Akhilesh Yadav told NDTV that the opposition parties will sit together and decide the strategy for the next vice presidential election without going into any further detail. It would be interesting to see that if, like Lok Sabha, all the joint India bloc parties will have a collective view. The resignation of Jagdeep Dhankar, formally accepted by President Draupadi Murmu, has vacated the post of vice president nearly 2 years before the scheduled end of Mr. Dhankar's term. According to Article 68(2) of the Constitution, there is no fixed timeline within which vice presidential election must be held in the event of a resignation. The provision, however, mandates that the election should be conducted as soon as possible. According to Election Commission sources, preparation began immediately after the Home Ministry formally communicated the resignation to the Commission. A formal notification indicating the need for an election is likely to be issued within the next 2 to 3 days. As per the Presidential and Vice Presidential Elections Act 1952, once the notification is issued, Election Commission is mandated to complete the process, including nominations, scrutiny, withdrawals, polling, and counting within a maximum of 32 days. Accordingly, the next Vice President of India is expected to be elected and sworn in early September. Mr. Dhankar's resignation, publicly attributed to health reasons, follows a week of political turbulence. According to sources, the chain of events leading to the resignation began with a controversial decision taken by Mr. Dhankar in his capacity as the chairman of the Rajya Sabha. On Monday, Mr. Dhankar accepted a motion from opposition MPs seeking the impeachment of Justice Yashwant Varma, a High Court judge at the center of a corruption investigation, even as BJP were planning its own motion to be submitted to the Lok Sabha, and this did not sit down well with the ruling party and its adherents. India and the United Kingdom are set to sign a major free trade agreement on Thursday, marking the end of nearly 3 years of negotiations. The agreement is being finalized during Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi's visit to Britain, his fourth since taking office in 2014. He's expected to arrive in the country's capital this afternoon at the time of the recording and meet with UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer. The deal is India's first major trade agreement with a developed country, so to speak, in over 10 years. It is expected to come into effect within the next year, following necessary approvals by the UK Parliament and India's Union Cabinet. Under the agreement, both nations have agreed to reduce tariffs on a wide range of goods. India will gradually cut its import duties on Scotch whisky and gin from 150% to 40% over a 10-year period. Tariffs on UK-made cars, currently over 100%, will also drop to 10%, but under a quota system. Other UK products such as cosmetics, chocolates, biscuits, medical devices and salmon fish will also see tariff reductions. In return, the UK will provide duty-free access to 99% of Indian exports, covering nearly the entire current trade value between the two countries. Several Indian industries are set to benefit, especially textiles, footwear, auto components, machinery and gems and jewellery, many of which currently face tariffs of 4% to 16% in the United Kingdom. Electric and hybrid vehicle manufacturers will gain preferential access under a new quota system. Indian firms like Tata Motors, Welspun India, Arvind Limited, Bata India and Bharat Forge are among those expected to benefit. British projections suggest the FTA could boost UK's economy by £4.8 billion. Consumers there may also see lower prices on Indian products such as garment, shoes and food items. UK-based companies such as Diageo and car makers Aston Martin and Jaguar Land Rover, which is now owned by Tata Motors, will benefit from improved access to India's large and growing market. The deal also includes provisions on services and mobility. Indian professionals sent to the UK will be exempt from paying social security contributions for up to 3 years, potentially saving around 4,000 crore rupees a year. The UK will also offer temporary access to Indian chefs, musicians and yoga instructors. Additionally, British firms will be allowed to bid for certain Indian government procurement contracts worth over 200 crore rupees. Prime Minister Modi is expected to hold talks with UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer on a wide range of topics, including trade, education, health, energy and security. He is now scheduled to visit Maldives just 2 days later, on the 25th of July. That's all for today. You were listening to the news with NDTV, your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with these events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to the news with NDTV on Apple, Spotify and the NDTV News app. This is your host Anviti, signing off.